TFTN Fast Break Podcast, Thursday, December 26, 2024, episode 32. Got ahead of myself last episode. Zach Graham, a.k.a. Cole Eisenberg, DFS, joined once again for a post-Christmas Day slate episode of the Fast Break. It's Adam Pfeiffer. Adam decked out in the Cavs gear. How was your Christmas, buddy?
It was good, man. Hopefully you had a good holiday as well as everybody else. Technical difficulties galore before we started. I also don't have it on right now, but I did receive the, because there was a time where I was debating getting a Mitchell jersey when it was still a little bit cloudy of his future. And now I have the City Edition ones for this year, the blue ones. Nice. So I got that. Not wearing it right now, but that was cool. And that's how you know you're getting old, dude. I got a wallet and socks. Thrilled. Just absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, dude. Same. I got a bunch of clothes. Pumped for that, right? Got a little bottle of whiskey, some other good stuff. Like, it was there a solid Christmas, yeah. And, you know, very, very good day for us in the prop streets. Plus 191 units on Underdog on Christmas Day, Adam. We'll take that.
Yeah, and you got to watch, I don't know where we even put him at this point, Wemby, in terms of top players, but we'll talk about it.
I'm going to tell you where I'm going to put him. Let's jump right in. Recap the Christmas Day games here today. We'll talk our All-Star reserves after picking our starters on last week's episode. Took Monday off, so we're back here on a Thursday. Let's jump into the Christmas Day recap, and we started Knicks hosting the Spurs, and the Knicks, with a comeback victory here, ends up 117-114. This was a highly entertaining game, even as my favorite team comes out on the short end of the stick here, Adam. This was an awesome game to watch. I think whether you're a Knicks fan, like Spurs fans, I think can be proud of the effort there. I would certainly love to have held on for that win, but if you were a third-party observer with no dog in the fight, it was a great way to start your Christmas Day slate. Wemby, 42 points, 18 boards, 4 assists, 4 blocks and a steal, 16 of 31 from the field, 6 of 16 from 3. Jeremy Sochan himself, 29 points, 9 boards, 2 assists on 8 of 10, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc, Adam. And we know Jeremy Sochan cannot shoot very well, so those were some big shots down the stretch for the Spurs to keep this one close. But on the Knicks side, Mikal Bridges leads the way. He has a 40-burger of his own, 41 points on 17 of 25 from the field. Absolutely roasting Devin Vassell in that first half to get him going. Continued in the second half. Awesome game from Bridges. And I wanted to shout out Precious Achiuwa, who was great in his 20 minutes off the bench. Plus 14 in those 20 minutes. Grabbed 10 boards. So the Knicks get the come-from-behind victory on Christmas Day at home. What did you think about this one? Because obviously we have some Wembanyama talk to be had here. And like, this is not me forcing it. It's like an all-time Christmas game performance from Wemby.
Yeah. I obviously, for the most part, like, if he's on national television, I'll make the effort to watch him. But otherwise, like, it's hard to watch him. But just, we know this just from looking at the stats and stuff, but, like, the amount of, like, what the hell threes he takes, but they're kind of warranted. Like I was watching, it was like, I think it was like 7 straight shots he took from deep three. I was just like, well, he can do it. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. I think the theme of these Christmas games yesterday were like odd 3-point performances. You mentioned Sochan, Bridges, who's been struggling with the shot for a lot of the season, third leading scorer on the team. He goes for 40 plus. And that's like, I'm encouraged if I'm a San Antonio fan. Obviously, you have Wemby, but then, like, we talked about it, like, before he got hurt early in the season, Sochan was awesome. He's continuing to look like maybe their second or third best player. Yeah, man, like, I thought it was a really good start to what ended up being a really good day of Christmas games. And the only thing I will add from this game that I noticed is it's really fun to watch, and I told you this before we hopped on the podcast, because my brother's a Spurs fan. And we're just like, we're not charting the amount of shots he takes or points he scores or rebounds. We're charting the amount of like either stupid decisions people make at the rim against Wemby or times that they go up for a shot and pass out of it, because there was a lot in the first quarter very early, and you could tell right away like it was going to be pretty all-time level type stuff from Wemby.
Yeah, man, like look, Victor Wembanyama is the second best basketball player in the world.
There it
And I
is.
think, yeah, Nikola Jokic is the only person that I will really hear an argument on. Is there an argument that he's the best defensive player in the world? I don't personally think so. Over the last 16 games, Adams, he's played 25 games this season. So well above half of the games in this sample size. This is since November 9th. Victor Wembanyama, 29.8 points per game. So 30 points per game in 34 minutes per game. 10.6 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 4.1 blocks, 0.8 steals per game. He's shooting 51% from the floor. He's shooting 40.3% from three on 11 three-point attempts per game. He's
On
87%
11,
from.
like 36-foot three-point shots per game.
Yes. And look, man, like part of having Wembanyama on the perimeter this season is because it's really the only way to make the offense work with him and Jeremy Sochan out there. Sochan has to play the five on offense because he can't shoot worth a lick. But 3 for 3 from three yesterday aside, right? That was a great one-off performance from Sochan. But if Victor Wembanyama can shoot 40% from three on 11 three-point attempts per game, or any, let's just say 36%. Like again, this guy's 7'5". He is the second best player in the world. He's the best defensive player. And who are you again? Like, who's better than him outside of Nikola Jokic in those 16 games, by the way?
Here's what I was going to ask you. Like,
Sure.
if Giannis could shoot even close to Wemby,
Right, but he can't.
that's probably the only difference you have with it. Otherwise, it'd probably be Giannis still for you.
Sure. But also, Giannis is not as good on defense. Like, if we're just talking best basketball player in the world, Wimby is second. And I'll hear arguments on other guys. There are plenty of other great players, but none of them do the things that he does. And again, he's already got a certain floor in terms of the hierarchy of basketball players across the globe right now because of the defensive things that he brings. That floor
What
puts
is he?
him
Seven, what? 7'4", whatever he
seven
is.
four, 7'5". Yeah, depending on who you
So
talk
it's
to.
funny that for me, and I've talked about this with Wemby a lot, is like somebody at 7'4", you're saying, okay, he's got the 3-point shot. Wait till he starts posting people up. But that's
Yeah.
kind of how it is. And if he starts to get that, he gets a little bit more upper body strength. Then he starts to attack these mismatches with post ups. And it's just like, okay, it's already
That's
pretty much like good luck. It's over. But like, even if that happens, then. Yeah. And oh, by the way, this is only his second season.
Adam is
And
he's 20 years old.
dude, this is obviously related because it's San Antonio, but like De'Aaron Fox, not really happy maybe in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Get him to San Antonio, please.
But I also here's the challenge for Brian Young in the Spurs front office, and I do want to move on here after this because
Yeah.
you know I could talk about this all day. But the challenge is now, right? They've put themselves in a spot where you're making some good draft picks before Wemby comes in, right? Devin Vassell, where they got him, I think 13th. Jeremy Sochan at 9th. That's pretty good value for where the Spurs were picking. Again, they did not have experience picking that high once in the previous 20 years before grabbing Vassell.
I mean, it's really
But
hard
then
to
you,
draft when you're just drafting the first overall player in the draft every year. I mean, when you do
right?
get
Well,
good.
yeah, and that's the thing. Like, but you put yourself in the
They get
position
credit
to,
for Kawhi too, I guess,
sure.
even
Like,
though the
and you
trade.
get, yeah, but you get, you know, you put yourself in a position to get the most lottery balls, the best odds possible to get Wembanyama. That breaks your way. But then also, dude, Stephon Castle is going to be the rookie of the year,
Yeah.
barring injury, and it has been over 50 years since a franchise had back-to-back rookie of the year winners. So like the challenge for me for this front office is who and when do you pull the trigger on? Because I don't think that we're in a spot now where they're out of line if they're thinking about making big swings coming up to this trade deadline. I'm not surprised if they continue to slow play it because again, I think it's paying off for them. And rushing into something and kind of, you know, screwing up the cap sheet and the flexibility that they have with that and their draft picks. Like, that is the next big step to get this team to championship contention is who and when. But again, all of everything is aligning right here. And Wimby, like we said it last year, but it still applies, I think. While he's 20 years old here, this is the worst he's going to be for the rest of his career, unless there's a, steep decline at the end of it. But like, holy shit, dude. So, again, I think he's the second best player in the world. He's not even a season and a half into his NBA career.
I mean, even if you're being like super, super conservative with your approach, at worst, he's what? The sixth best player in the world, seventh best at this point. Like, I think if you have him, like the only players you can really make a case, obviously Jokic, Giannis, Luka, sure, SGA, I guess. I mean, that's probably it right there, to be honest. Like,
Yeah,
I don't
but it's
know.
again
Like,
like
I'm not taking Tatum over him. I'm not taking,
I
yeah,
don't,
I
dude, you
mean,
can't
like,
take any of those guys over him because I'm not talking about who's the most, and like you want to talk about the most
accomplished.
flashy and the coolest stats. Then yeah, and the like he hasn't had the time nor does he have the team around him to pick up anything outside of the individual accolades so far, but like you can't, if you're talking about good, like how good they are at the game of basketball, none of those guys are as good as Wembanyama when you're taking in both sides of the ball. It's just not the case. Like he is the second best player. And I think you can make an argument for one, but I'm not going that far yet because Jokic is in his prime. And I was just like in best ball this year, I had Wemby too. His average draft position was one. I had Jokic over him. I still cannot make that move, but I would hear that argument, and I know you're not surprised.
Just waiting for the day it happens when he quadruple
Yep,
doubles.
it will be eventually. That will happen. Eventually, he will be the best player in the world, but not if Nikola Jokic has much to say about it. Interjecting here with a tweet that I just saw. Looks like for all the talk of NBA ratings being down, the noon game, Spurs and Knicks. Well, I'll sprinkle this in throughout the episode here, Adam. The noon slot in 2023 was a 1.3 overnight rating. This year, 2.2. So we're trending up in that early slot.
Who
Victor
played at
Wembanyama.
the 12 o'clock slot, by the way?
Yeah, Victor Wembanyama and the New York Knicks, which like I
It's
don't want to put
obviously
that
have to do with
all
it.
on Wemby, but you also have in that noon game, you put the Spurs early, so the French and the other European countries who are interested in basketball are tuning in for that. Second game of the two of the five game slate was Minnesota surviving the shorthanded Mavericks 105-99 on the road because Luka calf strain. They are prepared per Shams. They are prepared to be without him for an extended period of time here, Adam. Luka leaves the stadium on crutches, but again, the Mavs with a furious comeback just comes up short. Kyrie turns it on in the second half, ends up with 39 points on the night. Julius Randle on the other side, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists on 6 of 13 from the floor. The Wolves were pretty great as a whole, but they were led by Julius Randle on Wednesday. So a big win for the Wolves in, again, a Western Conference that is still extremely stacked in the middle in terms of this race, right? Minnesota with the win moves to 15 and 14 on the season, tied for the 8 seed and just a game and a half back of the 5. So a big win for the Wolves. What'd you think about this game, which was a 2 in the overnight ratings last year and kept that 2 rating? So we did not see anything slip there in the 2:30 p.m. Eastern window. What were your thoughts on Mavs Wolves?
This is one of the games I wasn't fully invested in because I was definitely watching football as well. But I will say, it really the storyline is just it's unfortunate because Luka's gonna miss a lot of time, and Kyrie, like Kyrie's awesome to me. Like somebody that's only 31, he's one of the most gifted basketball players I've ever seen. But they just can't. Like they could still make the playoffs if Luka comes back later on, but it, like. The vibes are really bad. Like he's gonna get, I think, the MRI results back today. I mean, before they even did the MRI, they're saying they're, I don't want to say prepping for the worst, but prepping for a long absence. And it's just like, yeah, they'll probably be able to like hang around maybe like the sixth seed or something, hopefully. But yeah, it's really unfortunate. And then, good to see Randall have one of his good games. It's just when is it gonna happen? It feels like 10 games, Randall will have 3 good ones and 7 bad ones. And Ant continues to, I th think lately there's been a lot of talk about how good of a playmaker facilitator is Ant, but he's been a lot better in that regard. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty odd. Like, that's one of those special kind of Kyrie Christmas moments. Wasn't enough, but yeah, it's obvious what the storyline is here, and it's unfortunate. And it's
Yeah,
like,
man.
I think Shams was talking about how he can only miss, like, I think 10 more games until he won't be MVP or all NBA eligible.
Correct.
And he's
Yeah. So with
definitely going to miss 10 games, it sounds like, so.
So Luka no longer going to be in the mix, you would think, for those end of season awards. Mavs, even with the loss, still 19-11. So they have a two-game buffer over the fifth, sixth, and seventh seed. That's the Nuggets, Lakers, and Clippers. They have a 3.5-game buffer for the edge of the play-in, 4 games ahead of the 11th-seeded Spurs. So, they've got Kyrie there. They just got Jaden Hardy back, I believe, yesterday. If not, he is on the men. Spencer Dinwiddie, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively, and the like. But it's going to be a challenge. And into the 5 p.m. slot. That was Sixers and Celtics, so we had
This
no
was the
Drew
craziest
Holiday.
game.
Yeah, well, we had no Drew Holiday on the Boston side. On the Philadelphia side, you get a pregame scare where Joel Embiid falls into the stands during warmups, tweaks his ankle, stayed down for a minute, ended up getting the start, and 27 points, 9 boards, 2 assists, but a minus 18 on the game. I was really impressed with Caleb Martin getting the spot start, 23 points on 8 of 11 shooting. The big game for Philly comes from Tyrese Maxey, 33 points, 4 rebounds, 12 assists with 4 stocks in his 41 minutes. Tyrese Maxey kind of steals the show there, and the Sixers upset the Celtics 118 to 114. Tatum did his darndest, 32, 15, and 4 on that side. But Philadelphia, 19 of 19 from the free throw line in the victory, road victory there. A huge one, I think, for the morale of the Sixers and their fan base.
Yeah, this game had a lot of storylines. Obviously, the Embiid situation. Good to see him play and still be good to go. Maxey had 8 assists at halftime. It was a career high. Like, it was crazy that he had 8 that early. And then, weird game, right? Peyton Pritchard, who's been literally one of the best 3-point shooters in the world this season, goes 0 for 8 from 3. Caleb Martin hits 7 threes. That didn't affect the game at all, that disparity. And then, Paul George didn't really show up, but that's what you have at least, like if you have all three of these guys and Maxey plays how he played and Embiid plays well, you can have these Paul George. Now, obviously, you're not going to get 7 threes from Caleb Martin probably ever again, but you're a lot less reliant on Paul George than you have to be. And yeah, I mean, Drew Holiday or not, to go into Boston and win that game is impressive. I think they're quietly 7-3 over their last 10. Philadelphia is. Maxey, we'll talk about in a little bit with the All-Star reserves. He's a player I struggle with, but you can make the case he's, I don't want to say he's their best player, but I don't know if it's
Maybe
incredibly
playing the
far
best
off.
right now.
For sure, yeah. And then for Boston, like, there was a play, they had to stretch in like two with like 2.5 minutes left where they got a couple steals and turnovers and cut it to like 3 or 4. And then I think it was like a 5-point game with like under a minute left. They were absolutely all over the Sixers on defense, and it ends up being out of bounds at 0.8 left. And the Sixers call this play for Maxey, where Embiid sets a screen at the high post, right on the 3-point line, right at the top of the arc. And for whatever reason, with 0.8 left, Peyton Pritchard lets Maxey not just get a shot off, he gets a layup at the rim. And at that point, it's 112-105 with like 40 seconds left, pretty much game over. Like, that was shocking to me to see Boston not, like, again, just let him take a contested, like, fading, leaning three with 0.8 left. But instead, you let probably the fastest player on the planet get to the basket for a layup with 0.8 left. And that pretty much sealed the deal. But weird game, good win for the Sixers. Just weird to see Caleb Martin shoot 7 threes and Peyton Pritchard hit 0 for 8.
And Caleb Martin, that was a career high, 7 made threes. Sixers, 7-3 in their last 10. They're 11-17 now. Adam, they are a game out of the 9 seed and just 3 games back, 3.5 actually, of getting up to the 6 seed. So again, like long season trending in the right direction for Philadelphia. And I think even if you continue to struggle with the inconsistency of the availability for the top players on this Sixers team. Like the fact that you've got some of these teams in front of them, like I don't know if I see the Pistons being able to hold on. I don't know about the Bulls being able to hold on. And the Bulls are actually incentivized to lose this year because their pick, it goes to San Antonio if it's outside the top 10. So they're incentivized to tank. I think Philly is pretty safe for the
And the
play-in.
Bulls will
And
be trading somebody, you think.
yes.
But we
And
thought
I
that last year
think,
too, so.
sure. I think Sixers, again, pretty much a shoe-in for the play-in and very, very live for a top six seed in the East. So turning around there. And then if you're not going to bring it up, I will. 6-4 in the last 10 for the Celtics. They've lost two in a row while the Cavs still in the one seed, winners of five straight,
Things
nine of
you
their
love to
last 10.
see.
Look at them.
It's just things you love to see.
Four game gap now between the Cavs and the Celtics. Like this has been a huge week at the top of the East.
Yeah. One thing I will ask you though, I
Okay.
know these teams are smaller market, but it is weird that we had the top seed in the East not playing on Christmas, the top seed in the West not playing on Christmas, the second seed in the West not playing on Christmas. But I understand. Like, I'm not mad about it at all. Like, the Cavs, I think maybe next year the Cavs get on Christmas potentially, but like,
Sure.
we want to see, Madison Square Garden. We want to see Wemby. We'll talk about this next game, which just that's my takeaway for this next game. If you want to segue right into it, just be grateful for these two players while they're still playing. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and in that 5 p.m. slot, this was the one game that Celtics Sixers 2.2 overall overnight rating in 2023, 2.1 this year. But these two night games, man, is where you pick up these ratings. Because Lakers at Warriors, LeBron, who I believe turns 40 in 5 days, leading the shorthanded Lakers to victory. The ratings for this game, Adam, Bron, and Steph, this 8 p.m. time slot on the East Coast was a 0.6 overnight rating last year, 3.3 this year. 26, 10, and 10 from Austin Reaves, his first
Yeah.
career triple double, and the game winning layup. Anthony Davis plays only 7 minutes with an ankle injury. On the Golden State side, Trayce Jackson-Davis is who I wanted to note here, continues his stellar play of late. He's back in the starting lineup. He had a Warriors best plus 11 in his 26 minutes, but the story here is the Lakers, the huge Reaves game, LeBron captaining this team to victory, and then post game grabbing the mic saying, "I love the NFL, but this is our day." And I don't know, did that make you feel some type of way, Adam? Because the NFL is your baby, but LeBron is your
No.
guy. So do you agree with him?
I wholeheartedly agree.
Okay.
Listen, man, like I still you gotta remember too, like as a Cavs fan, when LeBron was playing on Christmas every day in a Cavs jersey, like I still remember where I was watching that Golden State Cleveland game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like LeBron said he wants the Christmas Day jerseys back too,
I
which
agree with him.
absolutely. And also like did you watch the NFL games yesterday? They were
I watched the
terrible.
first one, but I will
Like,
say, like, it was on mute. I had the Spurs
yeah,
game on with
right.
the audio. Steelers were
But
on
like,
mute.
here's the thing too with like football. Like, I understand, like, cool, but like, I don't want to say we, but a lot of us don't like the Thursday night games because it's too
Yeah.
short, the quick turnaround. You all these guys playing on Wednesday, and you saw what the product was. Like, I understand you're
Yeah.
going against Mahomes and Lamar Jackson for the two teams that got
Still.
absolutely blown out, but like, yeah, like. Christmas will always be associated with NBA, not NFL to me. It's not even a question. And yeah, LeBron, Steph, that's the storyline for me. Like, I understand Reaves was awesome. But dude, like, just give me, if we're not going to be able to get like a playoff matchup between these two, give me win, go home, play-in scenario between these two teams. Because it's like you mentioned, like, I don't know how many years left we're going to have a LeBron and Steph. And they are, whether you think LeBron's the GOAT, he's at worst the second best player of all time. Steph's top 10 of all time. They're unbelievable. And I will say, I do not miss the anxiety of watching LeBron against Steph because I use this comparison all the time. As a Cavs fan watching the finals every year against Golden State. Every time Steph got the ball, I was like, okay, they're scoring on this possession. That's how I feel with the Bills when they play the Chiefs. It's like every time Mahomes gets the ball. But I don't miss watching LeBron play against Steph and having to worry about it. I just got to relax and watch it.
Absolutely. And then, well, so Then the late night game is the Warriors. The backslide continues. 3-7 in their last 10, losers of two straight. Suns and the Nuggets was the nightcap. And this one had another huge jump in ratings, Adam. A 0.8 overnight rating last Christmas. 2.4 was the overnight rating this year. So you're totaling those numbers up almost a double in terms of the overnight rating. 6.8 was the total last year, a 12 this year for the five NBA slots on the schedule. Suns defeat the Nuggets in the late night hammer, 110-100. Durant, solid, 27-6, with no Devin Booker, no Grayson Allen in this one. But the Suns come out on top at home. Solid Beal game, really on both ends, 27-2-4 with five stocks for Bradley Beal. The Nuggets shot just 8 of 29 from three in this one, and look like
So
this has
they
been a
did what they
theme.
always do.
Right? Well, and this is a theme, man. Like Jamal Murray did not look great in this one.
No, and Aaron Gordon got hurt. He's got a calf.
Yep.
Jamal Murray's been, has he even been mediocre this year? Like, that's the bar for Jamal Murray right
Yeah.
now. And remember, I think it was the first podcast you and I did this season, like once the season started, we were talking about, man, Russ, what are they doing with Russ? Dude, Russ has been like their third best player,
Yeah, he's been good.
which is a compliment to Russ. He's been awesome, but it's also like that's why this team is struggling. Because as much as I love Russ, when we're going into a season with a team that has Jokic, Jamal Murray, Gordon, MPJ, Russ should not be your third best player. So my takeaway is this: we're going to see this team make a trade. They have to. You have the
Yeah.
best player in the world. I understand you already won a title, but you want to maximize every opportunity you have when he's playing, not just playing, but playing
At this
somehow
level.
at a level better than he's played.
Yeah.
Whether it's Zach LaVine, which there's obviously been rumors, like they have to do something. And it's probably gonna have to be Michael Porter Jr., but now all of a sudden you have Aaron Gordon. What if he misses time? Like, it's just they have to do something. They cannot sit tight before this deadline and just say, you know what, we have Jokic. We'll hopefully that things will pan out. Like, you aren't good enough. You have to do something.
Yeah, Jamal Murray, man. I mean, lowest percent from the field since his rookie season, just 42.9% from the floor this
What do you
year.
think it is? Because I like the Olympics, he was bad.
Oh, he's not
And it was
healthy.
like,
I think the
okay,
knee
whatever.
is still
Maybe it's just,
bothering him.
yeah, it's got to be something.
And it's, he's had an ankle tweak, he's had calf soreness, right? We know the knee going back to the last playoffs, like 34.9% from three is second lowest in his career since his rookie season. And this is a guy the last three seasons, Adam. 42.5%, 40%, 41% from three, now sub 35%, career high in turnovers per game. Some of that can be attributed to the fact that he's playing a career high 36.4 minutes per game. So more minutes out there to turn the ball over. But again, the shooting efficiency is very concerning. And Jamal Murray was never a lockdown defender, but he has also been poor on that end of the floor this year.
Also,
And
like
a
the
big
dribble handoff with him and Jokic just is not the same at all. Like at a
Yeah.
couple years ago, that was like one of the five most unstoppable pairing plays, duos in basketball, and it's just not even close.
Yep. So that was the Christmas Day slate again. I thought a very fun one.
Yeah.
Almost no matter who you're a fan of or you were just watching as a neutral observer. Let's talk, Adam, before we get to stock up, stock down, about our All-Star reserve ballots here. Again, these can and probably will change maybe one or two spots between now and the All-Star break, but we listed off our starters this time last week. We were both in alignment in the West. We had SGA, Luka, Wemby, Anthony Davis, and Nikola Jokic. In the
That's the
East,
other
we
thing
had
too with
Jalen.
Wemby. Like, we've been talking
Yeah.
about him so much. Like, the fact that that was what we would do. We know LeBron's going to start the All-Star game. We talked about this, but
Right.
like the fact that I'm putting Wemby over my favorite basketball player ever just shows how good Wemby
Yeah.
is.
Yeah, no question. And so then our East starters were Brunson, Mitchell, Tatum, Giannis, and Karl-Anthony Towns. So Adam, I'll throw it to you first. Let's start with the West. Seven reserves. Who do you got on your ballot right now?
So this one is chalky until it isn't, right? Because we both had Wemby, so obviously you know there's going to be four players, sorry, five players in the West that are locks. LeBron, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Steph Curry. Who are the other three is what it comes down to. And for me, I put James Harden. I think he's having a really good season. This team is still right up there in the playoff standings for the West, despite missing Kawhi. Harden, Zubac, they've been actually one of the best duos in the league. Harden's been awesome. He deserves to be an all-star. So two spots left. I think the Rockets deserve somebody, and that would be Alperen Şengün. So I put him there. And then this is where I thought we would differ. This one, you could go multiple ways. You could go Devin Booker. You could go De'Aaron Fox, who's having a really good statistical season. But one seed in the West, as we'll talk about, I have two players from the East, one seed in the All-Star game. So Jalen Williams, man, he's been too good. He's been awesome. And what he's done for them in that small ball lineup as the five without Chet for the long part of the season, especially before they got Hartenstein back. Jalen Williams to me is an all-star. I understand if you put Booker or somebody from Sacramento over him, but yeah, give me Jalen Williams. So the obvious four or five, Bron, Steph, Durant, AD, or Edwards, sorry, Harden, and then I went Şengün and Jalen Williams to get some of the young guys in there.
Yeah, we are the same in lockstep on those four kind of obvious ones. I also had Harden and Şengün, right? 20-9, 2 seed Houston Rockets. Get Şengün in there. And then, I think too, the Clippers being 17-13, tied for the 5 seed without Kawhi Leonard appearing, who he's supposed to be back in the next week or so. So we'll see what happens with the Clippers. I think Harden is deserving. And I think J-Dub is deserving too. And like, the 1 seed argument might be what gets him in over who my seventh reserve was, and that was Domantas Sabonis. Now, 13-17 are the Kings. Sabonis, again, his team success might keep him out, but 21 points per game. That is a career high, 13.5 rebounds per game, just 0.2 shy of his league leading rate. Last season, 6 assists per game, over a 2-to-1 turnover assist to turnover ratio. Shooting 60% from the field, a career high. This is not only a career high in 3-point percentage, he's a career 34% 3-point shooter, shooting 42% from three on 2.4 attempts per game, which is the second most in any season of his 9-year career, Adam. So Domantas Sabonis gets my seventh spot, but I have no qualms with your shout for J-Dub there. So anything else for you on the West reserves?
I was just gonna ask, where are you? Obviously, I know where you are because you put Sabonis in, but was it close between him and Fox if you were choosing somebody from that team? Because Fox has been really good too. I mean, 26, 6, and 5.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of those massive scoring games, obviously, when they were shorthanded, but was it close? And I also will say there's one player that could make the West jump for me because he's been really good, and it's Triple J. But it's close.
Yeah, and there's just so many contributors on that Memphis team. Like,
There's
to
going to be
me,
so many
like,
snubs, by the way, in the West because you have to put
sure.
those four guys in. So that only
Yeah.
leaves three spots.
Right. Well, and like to me too, like if we could do this, like give me Taylor Jenkins as the All-Star coach as the three in the 3 seed over Dagnall, because he's just got a better team. And like the way that Jenkins has held the Grizzlies together to be 10 games over 500 in the 3 seed at this point, with like they haven't played a game fully healthy because we know JG's been out and Vince and like all the other guys who have missed multiple games along the way. So like that would be my all-star nod, is if like I could get Taylor Jenkins as the head of the well, and like we don't have East West this year, of course, but that was kind of my thinking. And it was close. I would probably like with those fringe guys, obviously Sabonis won for me. I'd probably give J-Dub, your guy, the 1B, and then Fox would be behind both of those guys. But I think all certainly there are cases to be made. And in the East, I'll go first here this time. I think some of these guys are pretty indisputable. Like I think Jaylen Brown needs to be in there. He hasn't been great this season, but I don't know how we don't put JB in there. Evan Mobley as well. I think Tyler
Also,
Herro
like,
with
it doesn't
what
matter about positions, but as we'll both kind of prove, and I think a lot of this because of Orlando, there's like no wings.
And like there's not a lot of bigs either. Like I
No.
don't know, man, like does Embiid make it? He's not on my
No.
like he's not on my list. Because he just hasn't played enough. So like Tyler
I
Herro made it for
yeah.
me. Cade Cunningham
Yes,
made
you
it
put
for
Hero in.
me.
Let's go.
Yeah, Dame Lillard made it for me. Trae Young made it for me with the NBA Cup run. They are 15-15. And then I named Franz to the reserves. I think he's probably gonna be out. So I injury replaced him with LaMelo Ball. But you also notice not just the wing, the lack of wings, lack of front court players in general. If you wanted to put Jared Allen on this reserve list, I don't think I would argue against it, because we do need some bigs on this bench.
Yeah, so the question is, will the Cavs have two or three All-Stars? Because I think they'll definitely have two. Mobley should be an All-Star. Like, obviously the Cavs are the best team in basketball based off record. But also, we know Mobley is one of the five best defensive players. I don't think people realize how much better he's been offensively, which has always been the question. Like, when is he going to take a step forward offensively? Still not, like, lights out from three, but starting to become like, okay, we should probably cover him. And then I think a lot of the thing with Mobley and Allen, for that matter, is like people see them put up like 20 points. And it's like, okay, well, how many of them are just dunks and layups from Garland and Mitchell? Mobley, who his usage rate's up like 3%, is pushing like 24% this season, obviously a career high. You look at his percentage of 2-point attempts or points that were assisted. I mean, last 2 years, actually, 72.5%. This year it's down to 66%. Which means he's doing more attacking mismatches. There's a lot of the time where he's getting defensive rebounds and just bring the ball up himself. Mobley should be an All-Star. They should have at least two players. The question is, do they have three? If they were going to have three, I do think Garland's been their third best player this season. I think he's been better than Allen, but I don't think he's been better than the guards like Cade, who I have in, like LaMelo, who I didn't put in Franz, but it was the same rationale. Franz should be in. He won't be able to play. And yeah, I mean, like, Paolo would obviously have been in if he didn't get hurt either, which makes this look way worse with the lack of wings. So I have a lot of the same players you did. Hero, which I'm glad you had. Jaylen Brown, Mobley, Cade, Dame. LaMelo was my replacement. And then my last one was between Maxey and Trae Young, but I'm glad, and I hadn't even decided on it until you brought up the good point about the cup run. So I will lean Trae Young over Maxey, but if you want to put Maxey in there, I'm cool with that. The East is like, it's cool though, because it's a lot of the just really up and coming players, right? You have Cade, you have LaMelo, you have Mobley. The West is like a couple young guys, and it's mostly these veterans we've seen be really, really good. The East is a little bit more fun, I think. But yeah, I really hated those Orlando injuries too, because talk about guys that not only Franz would have started for me if he didn't get hurt.
He very well could have, yeah. And then like again, if Paolo was healthy this whole time, maybe we're not talking Franz, but I think we're talking Paolo for sure.
Definitely talking about there's a really good chance that Kat has been amazing, but he's probably not starting the All-Star game if Paolo doesn't get hurt.
Yep.
My opinion.
Let's talk about some games we're eyeing this weekend. Nine games on our Thursday night here, Adam, coming off of the Christmas Day slate. But, from a real basketball perspective, not a lot that I like. The game that I have down to, make sure I have my eyes on tonight is actually Pistons at Kings, because typically we're dealing with a DFS slate, all the news that comes along with that, late swaps and things, when some of these Eastern Conference games are going at 7 p.m. Eastern. Now that we've got the Kings hosting the Pistons out here in one of the late night games, I think this is a 10 p.m. Eastern start. I'm going to be able to relax here tonight. All the games locked. Watch, kind of a full Pistons game all the way through. Maybe I'm dual screening with the Thursday night game, given our season-long playoffs that are going on right now. But give me Pistons at Kings tonight. On Friday's slate, I've got a three-pack of games here. Wolves at Rockets, Cavs at Nuggets, and shorthanded Dallas at shorthanded Phoenix, if you think Devin Booker, who has not practiced since his groin injury, is going to remain out. On Saturday, give me Suns at Warriors, KD back in the Bay. And on Sunday, pair of Western Conference matchups that I think will be very entertaining. Grizzlies at Thunder, Spurs at Wolves. Anything else for you for the weekend ahead?
Yeah, I'm really, really pissed that Memphis OKC game is on Sunday, because it makes it far less likely I'll be able to tune in.
Right.
But I'm so high on this Memphis team that, they're so fun to watch with the way they play. I would have liked to watch that. Maybe I'll try, but it's going to make it a lot more difficult.
Finishing out episode 32 of the Fast Break with Stock Up, Stock Down. I will begin this week with our Stock Downs here, Adam. And it's going to be Stock Down to the Mavericks, because they've actually been, and I think probably the trade at the deadline last year, bringing in PJ Washington, bringing in Daniel Gafford, some of the moves they made in the offseason, bringing in Najee Marshall, bringing in Klay Thompson, right? Some of those things have helped buoy them in the 8 games that they've missed Luka Doncic so far this year, 6-2 without Luka this season, but last season just 4-8 without Luka. And now with the Mavericks, again, we talked about, they've got a 3.5 game buffer over the edge of the play-in at the Golden State 10 seed there at 15-14. Like, that can go south really quickly if we're missing Luka Doncic for maybe 3-4 weeks here, maybe even more, again, leaving the stadium on crutches last night. So it is a, you know, kind of just looking ahead, a stock down for the Mavericks, and, you know, make the big comeback yesterday, but not enough energy to get it over the line. So you take the Christmas Day L in more ways than one, stock down to Dallas.
Yeah, and the problem when you lose a superstar like that that you build your team around is, outside of Kyrie, pretty much everybody else has to kind of play out of their role a little bit more, and it makes it a lot more difficult. My stock down was actually Jamal Murray, so we don't really have to talk too much about it. Just like, and you could point to Denver as well to pair with that. It's just been like, it just hasn't been even close to the season he expected to have. So, yeah, and as I mentioned, this team has to make some sort of move.
Stock up here on episode 32 to close it out. Give me stock up LeBron here for the Christmas Day victory, shorthanded, looking America dead in the camera and saying, this is our day. Christmas Day belongs to the NBA. They get the win. So maybe rough sailing ahead for the Lakers with a potential Anthony Davis absence with that ankle. We'll keep our eyes on the news, but it was a hell of a day, I think, for LeBron. And then you also saw in the post-game interview, you know, he said in response to, you know, the conversation about the ratings, which we're talking about here today, said, you know, what's still great about the NBA? LeBron and Steph and Austin Reeves. So mini stock up for Austin Reeves off camera says, good fucking answer. And I agree with Austin Reeves. I think LeBron is absolutely right. And when it comes to the ratings, you saw it in the numbers that just came out at the beginning of this episode. People were tuned into the NBA yesterday. So stock up LeBron, stock up Austin Reeves, stock up NBA.
Yeah, that was mine. Just the NBA. Because okay. For like yeah. weeks, there's been talks about like, oh man, these games are all blowouts. Just what happened to the league? It's boring.
Yeah.
And yeah, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of blowouts each week. But the fact that every single one of those games yesterday was fun, had storylines, was competitive, and then of course you have the LeBron Steph situation with that 5 o'clock game. Like,
yeah,
it's probably one of the most successful Christmas Day slate of games for the NBA I remember in a decent amount of time.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So that'll do it for us here on episode 32 of the FTN Fast Break podcast. Adam, anything else for you before we shut it down?
Nope, just going to be sweating season-long championships this weekend. Weather apparently going to stink. There's going to be a lot of really bad rain games, apparently. So, again, it's early, but glad that won't be impacting anything. But, yeah, I'm hopefully everybody had a good holiday, like I said. We got great basketball. We got terrible football, but at least we got some. But, yeah. Hopefully everybody continues to have a, you know, if you're still off, whatever, have a good weekend, great holiday, all that good stuff. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate everybody tuning in, sticking with us here on episode 32 of the FTN Fast Break podcast. We're back on Monday. Mike Randall back in the building alongside me. So enjoy the rest of your holiday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Till then, he's Adam and I'm Zach. Goodbye. Thank you.